Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Forever 35.
A podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves.
I think that's what this is.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm Kate Spencer.
I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Dori, you know, one thing I want to point out to our listeners that this is not a show for kids because I had a thought in the shower today that I wanted to ask you.
I can't wait this to is hear
not
what this is.
On the show document.
This is NSFK.
This is NSF. Not safe. Yeah, not safe for kids. Yeah. Probably not also not work. Dori, do people wash their pubic hair?
Oh, interesting. I do.
What? With shampoo?
No.
Oh.
With like body wash.
I had a bit of shampoo today, like accidentally dribble onto my stomach.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'm just going to wash my pubes. Okay. And then I conditioned.
Oh, wow.
This is way.
Do they feel silky smooth?
I haven't even really tested. Okay. But I just was like, does anyone do this? Is this a thing? Or is this just, I made Sammy laugh. It's happened. I probably don't want to be admitting this on a podcast that's going to be.
I mean, why not?
Commemorated, you know, recorded forever. But yeah, so you do with a soap?
Yeah, I just give it a little.
Like a shampoo?
Just a wash. You know, it's not good to like get in there. In
yeah,
your
yeah.
Badge.
Well, this was like a. This was.
We're just talking about the outside.
I'm talking about pure pubic
pubes.
Hair.
Yeah,
pure
I've never shampooed them though. But yeah, I mean, I used to get Brazilians, which are not great, but I guess then you don't have that issue.
No, you've got nothing to wash but skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, by not great, I mean I had all sorts of problems with them, like ingrowns, and It was not fun.
Not fun.
Also, they're painful as hell.
I've gotten a few in my day.
Mm-hmm.
Never enjoyed it once.
Nope.
Anyway, I was wondering, I was thinking about our shower routines.
Well, Kate, this is a safe space that we share with thousands of people.
That's right.
So I'm really glad you brought that up.
That any old ex-boyfriend or former teacher can listen to. And when they wonder, what is Kate Spencer up to now? The answer is thinking about pubes.
Thinking about shampooing pubes.
Yeah. Okay. Jeez, we got to cut this out, Dori.
We are definitely not cutting this out. Don't even think about it. Sammy, you got that? Not going. All right.
Great.
What else is happening this week?
Well, in other news for me personally, I'm depressed.
No, I'm just sorry.
You know when you're just in that space where you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I do.
I can't even like bring myself to cook dinner. I've just been like eating crackers for dinner all week. Is that okay?
I think that's fine.
Okay, good. I've been able to feed my children.
Great.
Even though last night I just like took a rotisserie chicken, cooked it in water, made that broth, made egg noodles, and I was like, here's soup.
Wait, that sounds actually like
it was good.
Elaborate.
It was very easy. And then I ate I don't even know. Like literally I've just been eating like peanut butter out of a container. I just the thought of making cooking dinner is so much effort, I can't even bring myself to consider
it. I really think that's fine.
Ugh.
What do you think the origin of this rut is?
You know, I did a little self-analyzing as I was jotting down. I don't know if it's the holidays and just the overwhelm of the season. Like, no matter what I do, it just always feels to kind of just like feel like a walking into a brick wall. I don't know if it's the state of the world. I don't know if it's just like, you know, residual leftover grief like that comes up without subconsciously about my, you know, the holidays and my mom being dead and that sort of thing. I don't know. I don't think that's it, honestly, but I just was kind of like, The not being able to bring myself to make dinner has been very, has been kind of noticeable. I don't know. I'm just kind of blah.
I think cut yourself some slack.
I'm going to roll with it.
Just roll with it.
I don't mind. And, you know, we're fine. But it was just, it's just interesting. It's always interesting for me to notice my, when my, like my moods and my mental health. And right now I'm just kind of in a lower zone.
I was in a rut last weekend.
What was going on? Were you able to pinpoint?
I think part of it is I don't have as much scheduled on the weekends as I do during the week. Because, like, I don't have kids. I don't have that, like, frenetic, you know, running to birthday parties and all that stuff. And I haven't been super proactive about, like, making plans with people. Also because, like, honestly, it's hard to make plans with people on the weekends because everyone has kids.
And they're all at birthday parties.
And they're all at birthday parties. So it's sort of like, all right, I guess I'm home. So I was kind of feeling that last weekend. And then I was also feeling like, who are my friends in LA?
Oh, God, I hate these moments where you're like, I don't have friends.
Yeah, I was like, we got invited to a few holiday parties, but not like a lot. And I was sort of like, huh. And we're not having a Hanukkah party this year. Like, we decided not to do it. I guess Christmaka party. And I was just sort of like, Like, I was just kind of feeling sorry for myself.
Again, an okay way to feel.
Yeah.
And did you pull out of it? Or are you still kind of feeling it?
Well, then on the podcast I do with my husband last week, we got into a, I wouldn't say a fight, but we had a like very honest discussion at the top of the show.
Wow, I got to tune into that one.
And that kind of sent me into like a little bit of a spiral of like, oh God, what if we're just never going to be on the same page?
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
About everything?
About like certain things. You got to listen to it.
I will.
I don't really feel like rehashing
don't
it.
Don't need
it
to.
It took a lot out of me. It was just like a lot, you know? And so between the like, who are my friends? And like, what do I do? What do I do on the weekends? And what's happening? Like, who is my husband?
Yeah.
I've just been sort of like, huh, okay.
If that weird alone in the world feeling is kind of seeping in.
But then during the week, it's like, I have, you know, like we do our podcast. Like I have more obligations.
Right.
And that feels better. So it's weird that now, like the weekends, I'm almost sort of dreading.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, other than feeling sort of like existentially weird, I feel like I've been in a decent like groove. Like I've been working out. I've been going to prenatal yoga. I've been taking these walks. I started a new journal / planner.
Oh, your planner, which we talked about. You got to tell listeners about
it. Yes. You and I talked about it.
Yes, sorry. Yes. We talked without microphones. It's so strange.
I know. It's weird. It's called the Best Self Planner. I am mixed on it, I will have to say. There's certain things I like about it. It has you do a gratitude practice in the morning and at night.
You're like, I don't have enough fucking gratitude to
I'm
fill
literally
this
like,
up.
Jesus Christ.
God.
I feel like what appealed to me about it when I saw it online, I'm sure I got like an Instagram ad about it, was that it seemed to take some of the things that I like about bullet journals and just made them like easy for you to
they
do.
They did it for you.
For you. Like weekly things that you can keep track of. So I'm like exercise, being in bed by 10, reading in bed, and pooping.
Pooping is very important.
Well, especially
to know
when you're pregnant.
Sure.
You know, sometimes you just go for a few days and you're like, wait, I haven't pooped in like 3 days.
Side note, my daughter the other day was like, do you poop every day? I don't. I was like, yeah, I do. You're not regular? I just was like, we never talked about this before.
Oh, see, she should get the best. She should get the
Listen, you're going to start bullet journaling. Yeah.
But it's almost like too much self-reflection. Like every day they want you to set goals and talk about like your wins for the day. And I'm sort of like, I don't want to have like daily wins or lessons learned. It's like too much, you know?
Yeah.
And I do. They're also, I have to say, they're also a little spammy. Like as soon as I ordered the journal, I started getting like thousands of emails from them. Then they texted me and I was like, how do they know my number? They texted me when the journal was delivered and they were like, are you excited to start? And
oh my God, it's like, too much.
Slow your roll.
It's like this app on my phone every day. It's like, time to meditate. Have you meditated? And then it like a quote will, and I have to shut it off, but I just keep forgetting. And it's like, fucking lay off.
Yeah.
Lay off.
Yeah, I'm like, just let me be grateful and write down what I need to do today. Like, that's it. It's too much tracking.
Well, you know, we had a listener write in, and I would like to address this on a mini episode in more detail, but their question was like, what if your self-care is just not fucking doing any self-care? And to which I say, hell yes.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes this shit feels like it's like too much work and you're just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know,
I could see it might be useful if I had like a long-term project.
Sure.
That I wanted to be working on and I needed to like break it down. I think it would be good with that. I don't know. Jury is still out, but so far I'm sort of like, what have I gotten myself into?
Well, I mean, the nice thing is you can get yourself out of it. You don't have to commit to it. I've given up on journals and planners and I'm just using Wunderlist and my Google Calendar. And I feel more on top of things than when I was handwriting them into books.
Yeah. I mean, I think I might just go back to the method that I mentioned on the podcast before, just like writing my to-do list the night before.
Again.
Turns out that's all I need.
It really is like maybe we've swung the pendulum too far in the journal direction.
Totally. Let's take a short break.
All right.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
So the holidays are coming up. They're basically here.
We're in it.
We're in it. And we wanted to talk about staycations this week.
My favorite kind of cation.
Exactly. Because my husband and I are going to be doing some staycationing this holiday season. And I think you're going to be home for a few days also.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, since having children.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've had a staycation, which is why in describing my dream staycation, it involves my children going to a magical safe care facility during the day.
Well, you know, we're going to get to this later, but I asked in the Facebook group for people's dream staycations, and almost everyone who had kids was like, no kids.
Yeah. I mean, not that I wouldn't love like doing the kind of things we do in a staycation with my children, but I feel like in order to truly relax in my fantasy world, you know, I'm thinking about one particular staycation that my husband and I did, and it was like one of the best like 3 days of my life.
What was it?
Well, we watched 3 to 4 seasons of The Sopranos, like just around the clock, like from, you know, we'd wake up at 10 a.m., get bagels, and then just Soprano it up to like 1 or 2 in the morning. And we would just consistently order this delicious pizza from this pizza place. We just ate pizza and watched Sopranos for like 3 days. And it was the best. It was so much fun.
That sounds great.
Oh.
Well, we both came up with our dream staycations.
What, Dory, define a staycation in case someone's hearing this term for the first
time. So to me, a staycation means a period when a lot of people go away and you stay home. So it could be like Thanksgiving time. It can be the week between Christmas and New Year's. It could be like 4th of July weekend. Or it could be just like a period when you have off from work and you decide not to go away. You decide to stay home.
You vacation in your home.
Yes. I mean, I think that the in part, you'll hear what my dream staycation is. But in part, I think for me, a real staycation is when a lot of other people leave town.
I love that feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the only person in your city or your town.
I feel like it's more pronounced when you live in New York. Because like if you're in New York over 4th of July weekend and you're like in downtown Manhattan, I mean, it's like tourists, but there's just not a lot of people out.
It's amazing. Excuse me.
So one part of my dream staycation is like getting a reservation at a restaurant that's like usually really hard to go to because everyone's away.
Ah, but your staycation involves actually activities outside of your home.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
set the scene.
Okay.
So take me on this journey with
you. If we're talking multiple days, it involves the following. Baking something elaborate. Like, I think on Christmas, Matt and I are going to bake cinnamon rolls. I think I already mentioned that.
You did. It sounds so good.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. And then also watching something like Great British Bake Off with my husband. Something cozy and just like, yeah, that gives you like a good feeling. And then maybe watching some movies. Going on longer walks than usual with my dog. Going to the beach. Like, I love a chilly beach day.
You love like a sneakers and jeans beach day.
Yeah. Like I would love to just like, and you know, I would love to just drive to the beach. There's no one there. It's just, I don't know. It's just really nice. Also, if I wasn't pregnant, I would definitely go to the Korean spa.
Just spend the day soaking.
Get a scrub, like sit in the steam room, sit in the sauna. But I can't do any of those things. But since I am pregnant, I think maybe I will do an in-home spa sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like take a lot of baths and maybe get a prenatal massage.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
read like 5 books. Like for some reason, reading in the middle of the day feels so indulgent.
Oh my gosh, it does.
Yeah.
It feels so indulgent now. I wanted to do it so badly the other day and I was like, I have to work. I can't read this book right now.
Yeah. So like just doing some middle of the day reading. Oh
God, like 10 a.m. and you're just on the couch reading.
Yeah. Like how nice is that?
Ugh.
Also, I think like taking social media apps off my phone.
I have that on mine too. Yeah. Get out of that social media spiral.
And then, you know, if I wanted like the luxury version, I would check into like a fancy hotel in LA and get room service for like a night or two.
My staycation, I mean, you could kind of do this by just ordering takeout the whole time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the that's the room service part without the fancy hotel.
It's true.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to be in town for 5 or 6 days, I think, 5 days before we go away for a couple days over Christmas. And I definitely plan on doing some of these. I mean, we are also going to do a Christmas purge.
That's right. That's your gift to each other.
Yes, which I'm very excited about. So we will be doing that as well, which feels fun and indulgent.
I don't know if it feels stake. You could staycation and purge on a staycation.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
For sure. And then read in the middle of the day.
Just be like, pause.
Yeah.
Hold on. Stop putting all those bins away.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's take a book break.
What is your dream staycation?
Well, as mentioned, my kids, I drop them off at a magical safe location where they know I know they're cared for or they're like at camp.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in this fantasy staycation, they're not around.
Great.
But they're safe.
Yes.
And I can't wait to see them again when I'm done staycationing. I mean, they would come home at night, I imagine. Because it's such a rare treat to go to the movies, I would love and not see like Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet, but rather see like a grown-up movie. I would love to just go and like see 3 movies in a row at the movie theater. It would just kind of also involve everything being really slow.
Like, what are your movie theater snacks?
I love a buttered popcorn.
Uh-huh.
I love then like mixing an M&M in with the buttered
popcorn.
Really? Exactly.
A peanut M&M.
That sounds so good.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big soda drinker at the movies.
Yeah.
My daughter and I did get sour Mike and Ikes this weekend.
I like a Sour Patch Kid at the movies.
Those hurt the roof of my mouth.
Oh, okay.
But these Mike and Ikes were very tasty.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, my mom's movie theater snack of choice is Good and Plenty's.
My mom too. My mom used to hide Good and Plenty's in the house and eat them.
They're so disgusting.
They're gross.
It must be like a generational thing.
It has to be like a 50s
yes.
thing.
Like she would make us stop at CVS Ugh. Before we went to the movies so she could get Good and Plenty.
Because God forbid you would spend the $8 million well, on usually, the movie theater Good
I mean,
and
they usually didn't have them.
Because
oh. <'Cause laughs> nobody likes them.
Oh, Good and Plenty's are such a mom candy.
Yes. Anyway,
it's
sorry.
Like the shivers. No, it's fine. But basically, like, I don't know if my body could sleep in, but I would, like, sleep till 8 a.m. or just sit in bed and, like, sit there.
Yeah.
I would eat bagels all day. Mm. I love a bagel. Just, like, you know, a toasty bagel.
Yeah. With butter or cream cheese?
Both.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. I love a butter and then a cream cheese. Just that layer.
All right.
Just a slow day. I would just do takeout, all sorts of different kinds of takeout. And then I would love to binge watch a TV show. I love the feeling of like, oh, hey, we have 12 hours.
Yeah.
Let's watch the first season of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that would be my choice of show.
Right.
But there are numerous shows that everyone else has seen but me that I feel like I would really love to watch that it's kind of hard to do at night. Or also, you know, like that satisfying feeling where you're like, oh, I can just keep watching this.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to bed.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to watch like 70 episodes. I like to watch movies that make me feel cozy.
Mm.
That like movies I already love. For me, that would be like When Harry Met Sally. Mm. Probably be the Pride and Prejudice movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just movies that I mean, God, you know what movie is like my coziest?
What?
That I've seen so many times. Not out of choice. It's just always on. Devil Wears Prada.
Oh yeah.
You know, if like that. You know, like that luxury of just like, oh, I'm flipping through HBO. There's a movie.
Yeah.
Like 3/4 of it left. I'll watch this.
Yeah.
That feeling.
Although I now have the thing with Devil Wears Prada where I identify more with Miranda Priestly than I do with Andy.
Certainly her hair and her style is fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a little weird. Like, oh, I'm old. Okay.
But you're not an evil monster.
No, but I am like, oh, she's a horrible assistant.
She did a tarot. She didn't know about Cerulean Blue.
No.
And then she did not treat her friends.
What is she doing working at a fashion magazine?
She just wants to work at the New Yorker, Dory.
Exactly. She shouldn't be at Vogue.
Well, we solved the plot of it. I think my general thing would just be like, I don't leave the house. I wake up and I'm in my pajamas. I don't need to put on a bra.
Do you have slippers?
I do. Mm. But I also like a thick sock.
Okay.
Comfy sock.
Yep.
Got some great cozy socks at the old Osco where I shop all the time. They did. They're literally called cozy socks.
Ooh.
You know, just like hot chocolate. Put a fire on in the fireplace.
Oh, hot chocolate. That's a good one.
You know
one.
What I mean?
That's like a thing that you never have normally.
I beg to differ.
Oh, okay.
I love hot chocolate.
All right. Okay. Sorry.
But that's okay. But for you, it would be a staycation treat.
Yes. Maybe with some marshmallows.
Marshmallows. Mm. Mm. And then you would just eat the marshmallows out of the bag.
Yeah.
I think just the idea of zero commitment, zero rushing.
Yep. Yep.
Not having to be presentable to anybody and just being able to sit.
Yes.
Really appeals to me.
Well, that sounds dreamy. I hope you can do some of it.
I do too. And I actually, in writing this, I was thinking about ways to do it with my children.
Yeah.
Which as they get older, we can have like a movie marathon. It just is, you know, totally. Stuff for them. And that is really fun and still relaxing and very cozy. And look, they love hot chocolate. So, I mean, they can also stay in their pajamas all day.
Yeah.
And they need to learn what it means to relax and staycate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. I do think it's a really valuable lesson. To like, to not do shit.
Totally.
What did our listeners say about their
staycations? Our listeners had so many good suggestions. I just chose a few of them. All right. Fully stocked fridge/kitchen with all my favorite foods and drinks.
Oh, yep.
No husband or kid. Netflix or Hulu binges of my favorite shows, a good book, a hot bath, and pajamas all day, every day.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like this person is speaking your language.
We should staycation together.
Another person said, projects, so many house projects I would like to do, sanding and staining that dresser stored in the garage or organizing my closet or deep clean of the fridge.
Ooh. Mm. A motivated staycationer.
Someone else said, not speaking to another human for 48 to 72 hours. Reading, naps, and every Winona Ryder movie. I like this. Like, some people are really taking it as a time for themselves. Mm-hmm.
And other people are like, I have shit I need to get done.
Yes. Check into a nice hotel in town and have the house cleaned while I'm away. Spend the time enjoying the quiet and calm at the hotel. Lots of reading, movies in bed, a massage, exploring the city, maybe see a play. I like maybe see a play.
Me too. Sounds like a nice getaway.
Someone actually is planning their staycation and said, I'm spending the last week of December and the first week of January at home on a staycation. I'm going to do two to three days of deep cleaning and a house project, recovering a chair. That's a good house project. And then the rest of the time is books/Netflix days on the couch, hikes in the woods with my dog, a day trip to visit my niece for movies, Chinese on Christmas, all the baking, a massage, some restorative yoga, and a local New Year's Day hike. It's going to be great if I do even half of that and spend the other half on the couch.
I love this next suggestion.
Yeah.
Maybe plan a nostalgic meal like something my mom used to make and I haven't had in forever.
I know. Such a good idea.
I love that. That's such a cool, that's great.
Yeah. This person also said enough beautiful yarn to keep me busy for months and something great to watch while I knit.
Productive.
Yeah. I like this one too. Someone said I'd pick a weekday so that I can go to my favorite SF places that aren't mobbed on the weekends. I mean, she's kind of after my own heart here.
San Francisco resident.
Yes. Going to the movies in the middle of the day. There's no luxury. Quite like an 11:45 a.m. showing with like two other people in the theater.
And then you go to late lunch and the restaurant's not busy.
Yeah. Mm. So true. So this woman actually has a staycation tradition where she says, she does this every year around the holidays. My university gives all staff off between Christmas and New Year's, so it's 5 extra days of vacation on top of our PTO. My husband and I will travel out of state on Thanksgiving to see family, but then stay in Boston for this time. I like to call it Grinchmas. We don't make plans. We exchange maybe one gift. We chill at home with the dog and drink wine on the couch. I like to do yoga, read, nap, and take a hot bath with lots of face masking every day. And since my husband works for the government, he only gets the actual holidays off. So I also take our dog for extra walks in the woods since we typically share that responsibility. It's pretty darn awesome. This year, I'm determined to spend some of the time organizing my closet and to keep, donate, recycle, slash trash as well. And then I loved this suggestion from someone who works for a tourism board.
Ooh, an expert.
An expert. She says, ask your tourism board for its free visitors or vacation planning guide or download off the website and use it to plan your dream staycation. Chances are you'll find lots of old favorite attractions to put on your itinerary, some new ones, and some lesser known gems. Also, many tourism boards provide themed slash seasonal itineraries tailored to what you're interested in, like family, culinary, shopping, sports, girls' weekend, etc., to take the guesswork out of planning. Those will also be on tourism board websites or in the printed guides.
I do love being a tourist in your own town or city, because so often we live in these places and we don't actually – like Los Angeles has incredible art museums.
Yeah.
And
– I mean, I've never even been to the Huntington Gardens.
We've got to go do that. They're gorgeous.
What am I waiting for?
Have you been to Descanso?
No.
Dory? Got to get your garden on here in LA.
See, like these are the things that I need to do.
And it's very hard. You're a busy person. It's hard to make time for these pleasures.
And I'm like, oh, it's in Pasadena.
Pasadena, so listeners, it's not that far.
It's not far.
Nope.
So thank you all for your wonderful staycation suggestions. I might steal some of them.
Yeah, that was really, I love hearing what people do.
Yeah.
And we don't think about staycations that much, but they do have a lot of value, and
they
can be a really cost-effective way to relax.
I was just going to say, I love that so many of these suggestions do not cost money.
Not a lot of money. And they also, like, I find
cleaning your house.
Oh, no, house. No, that is.
Hiking. Like, a lot of these are.
That's a good point.
Taking a bath. Like, there were a lot of, like,
very,
very inexpensive or free suggestions.
And I also think, you know, vacations can be stressful.
Like, totally.
There's cost, the packing, the movement, the travel. Stuff doesn't go as you plan.
And you have these high expectations.
Ugh.
Whereas I feel like with a staycation, the expectations are low.
You know the bed is going to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know the pillows are going to be nice.
Yeah.
You know that your towel's going to have a stain. At least in my house.
And you're not going to complain to the manager.
No, because you are the manager.
Exactly.
Well, I would love to hear more if people are doing staycations this winter.
Yeah, and if you do a staycation, tell us all about it.
And if you have secret spots in your city or hometown that you want to share, let's put together a Forever 35 tourism guide in our spare time.
Well, that is ambitious. I will not be doing that on my staycation. But if you want to, I mean, go ahead.
Maybe. It might be fun.
All right.
Our guest today is Regina Merson, the founder and creator of Reina Rebelde. And Regina, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We're thrilled to have you. I'm going to read a short bio that was provided to us that I thought was excellent to introduce you to our listeners. Regina is the founder and creator of Reina Rebelde, the first makeup line inspired by and created for today's Latinas, which celebrates the Latina collective dualistic experience as rebel queens. This year has been monumental for Reina Rebelde as the Latina community propelled the brand to capture the attention of its first major retail partner, which is Target. And Regina, just so you know, I saw a whole area of your stuff in Target and I freaked out. It was very exciting. You were born in Guadalajara, Mexico and raised in Dallas, Texas. And Regina left a successful career as a bankruptcy attorney to launch Reina Rebelde, which ties her two loves, cosmetics and her Mexican heritage. A graduate of Yale University and the University of Chicago Law School, Regina is a proud Mexican immigrant carving out her own path in the beauty world. We're so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
And as I mentioned before we started recording, we had a guest come in, Alexis, wearing your lipstick.
And we were both like, what is your lipstick? It's so perfect. And she told us about your brand. So that was very exciting.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're very.
Well, we were at BeautyCon in LA when we heard it. There was like, I'm just going to set the scene for you. There were, I had to, it was our first year at BeautyCon, and we, I had my intern, my college intern that I flew out to LA. I had, like our PR marketing person. And then we had an influencer that was going to be at our booth. And I had rented a Airbnb for like all of us. So it was just basically four Latina women hysterically getting ready every morning.
Sounds like fun.
Spend all day. And we were listening to it and we heard it and we like all, you know, broke out in screams. And I was like, I have to get on this podcast. I love it. So anyway, it was very memorable.
Oh, that's really cool. That makes us feel giddy inside.
Yeah.
I wanted to start by asking about the name and what it means to be a rebel queen, especially in relation to the experience of Latina women.
Right. So the name was something I really anguished over for a long time because I wanted something that really captured the essence of not just the Latina woman, but the heritage of the, of kind of the Latina fierceness, but also really reflected where we are today, as women as a collective and then Latina women and some of the strides we are making. So a lot of it was very much inspired by personal journeys that I've had a front row seat to, meaning cousins, women in my life, and then my own sort of personal journey as well. I think one of the things that happens to Latina women in this country is, you know, we like to say that we sort of, we are challenged by triple oppression, right? We're women, so there's that challenge. And then we're minority women in the United States, there's that challenge. And then there's, you know, the third challenge of within our Latino homes, they tend to be a very like macho like culture. And so there's additional layer of sort of gender challenges that we all deal with. And yet where this group of fierce women are going, and the trends show and all the evidence around us show is they are enrolling in colleges faster than all their other counterparts. They are getting degrees at night school while raising young families, while carrying a job. They are out breaking glass ceilings all the time and barriers. And even if they're not making as much progress as we would all like to see at times, we're all sort of pushing and pushing and pushing. And within this very dynamic, dualistic sort of existence, because in order to accomplish that, you have to be adept at being American on the one hand, and then being able to go home and being fiercely loyal to your Latina roots, which show up in every household. And so you're ambicultural, you're bilingual, you're doing this and you're doing that. And while you're out and you're putting all this energy and fierceness out there, you, meaning me and a lot of, and most other Latino women never leave the house without a full face of makeup. So this sense of beauty and fierceness and what it all means and how it all ties together, because to me, one of the things I learned early on was I grew up in a house coming here from Mexico where I always had to look put together to walk out the door. And when I got to college, I carried that with me. And I was very much sort of shamed about that at college. People were always stopping me saying, why do you look so dressed up and put together? Do you have a job interview? And it was just the way that was ingrained in my head from the women in my family. And then when I became a lawyer, there was this seeming dichotomy about you couldn't be a good lawyer, a successful lawyer, and move up the chain and also be focused on your appearance. The two did not go hand in hand. And I found that so odd. And I felt like, of course you can and you should. And that's actually a very cultural point for Hispanic women in this country. And a point of differentiation in many regards. And at the same time, there is a really beautiful term in Latina or Latino culture where we elevate women around us by calling them queens, which is where the reina part also came in. So your mother will call you a reina. Your friends will call you a reina. If you ever pick up a copy of like Hola magazine or People in Espanol, the way that we celebrate women leaders in our communities, we call them the queen of, you know, pop. So J-Lo will, if you ever see J-Lo on the cover of a Spanish publication, it'll say Jennifer Lopez, la reina del pop. Okay, so it'll be that. So I wanted the elevation and the sense of community that, you know, we're all tied together. And obviously the queen part ties into, you know, our beauty and then in our vanity. And then the rebelde side is the counterpoint to that, which is we can be vain and we can be into our looks because that's part of our pride as individuals and as women. But also it doesn't diminish or take away from our ability to be fierce intellectuals or women in the community or mothers or people that are juggling a lot of hats and wearing a lot of different things. And at the core of all of it was I want women to stop apologizing for being both or wanting both. I want them to understand that the duality is messy and it makes a lot of people very uncomfortable because people want to pigeonhole you into one or the other. You're the pretty girl, you're the smart girl. You're the successful girl or you're the, you know, not so interesting, intelligent girl. And it's no, you know, it, that is their problem. You can live with all of these dualities existing within you and you can own all of them and they should both be given equal amounts of sort of light and air and energy. So that was where the name came from.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was very inspiring.
Yeah.
How? Well, thank you.
Yeah. How did you know you wanted to turn makeup into your career? I mean, it sounds like you had a very successful career. And then to do this thing that seems like it might have been scary.
And how were you received as a bankruptcy attorney switching to makeup?
Entrepreneur, makeup entrepreneur.
Right. Am I allowed to curse on this person?
Yes, do it.
Oh, okay, great. Scary is an understatement. It was just, I was scared shitless. That's the honest answer. But really what happened was I had, for all the reasons I just explained, grew up around kind of being obsessed with makeup. And I used to watch a lot of telenovelas when I was young and love the drama of it. And, you know, just like my 90-year-old grandmother still won't leave the house without a beautiful full face of makeup and her hair done. And I always appreciated that about my culture. And so, like I said, you know, I took that with me. And one of the things that started happening is I became a makeup junkie. And I became a makeup junkie when I was in high school, but it grew into this funny obsession that was kind of running in the background of my academic career and my job as a lawyer. And so I was that person that was having, you know, boxes of Sephora delivered almost every day with all of these things. And at one point, you know, like all good hoarders, you know, I had to take a hard look at what was I trying to say or express by this makeup collection and my obsession over YouTube videos on how to do the perfect eyeliner. And, you know, by the way, at this point, I'm working on these huge bankruptcies. I'm working on Lehman Brothers and American Airlines and all these things. And there's not a lot of time for this, but I've somehow managed to carve time for it, which I always found to be something that was worthy of analyzing. And what I really realized was this makeup collection was me trying to express a very creative part of myself through makeup. And B, it was also owning, as a lawyer, you wear navy and gray and black and like kind of a pared down makeup routine. But on the weekends, I really liked experimenting with things that were just completely, you know, off of whatever was allowed in that office. And there was a part of me that just wasn't being expressed outwardly as a lawyer and the constraints of that life. And makeup turned out to be the tool which allowed me to get a voice out and get part of me expressed. And so the makeup collection was totally crazy. I mean, I would buy things that in a million years would I ever wear, colors that like made no sense, green lipstick, things like that, that I never really, but I wanted to have them and I wanted to have access to that should I need it or should the mood strike. And being a lawyer, and I've talked about this a lot, you know, I, as an immigrant, my parents had invested tremendous amounts of energy in helping me succeed in this country. And so when I actually ended up becoming a lawyer and I wasn't happy, I had a very, you know, harsh come to Jesus about what that meant and how difficult that was to admit to myself. And I had to mourn that. But as part of that journey of accepting that maybe this thing that I'd worked really hard for and everyone was really excited that I had accomplished wasn't really where my heart was at, I allowed myself to really just be mindful and pay attention of the things that were bringing me joy. And this makeup, crazy makeup obsession that was running on the side was something that was bringing me joy. And maybe I didn't understand why, but it was there and it was undeniable. And so the idea really started sparking from my own experience, also feeling like no makeup line really spoke to me, completely. There were a lot of lines that represented one side of who I was, another side, the side I wanted to be on the weekend, the side I wanted to be with my grandmother. But nothing that really gave me the freedom and flexibility and power to be all the things and all the sides of myself and the different masks that I was wearing. And then of course, like a good lawyer, I started researching and saying, gosh, am I the only one that feels this way? Like I have to hobble together something that reflects who I really am from like 10 or 12 or 15 different sources. And there it obviously, what I already knew in my gut, which was Latinas buy more makeup than everybody else. So my hoarding is not so unique, as it turns out, but also that there was no line that was really addressing this dynamic and this kind of spiritual, funny, idiosyncratic connection that we have that's part of like our roots to makeup. So that was the spark of the idea. And it was really funny because it came out of probably like the darkest time in my life. I was just so utterly depressed as a lawyer, and I was so unhappy with where I saw the trajectory of my life going because I'd worked so hard to be a lawyer. And, you know, it's kind of that thing, like when you think you want something so badly and then you have it and you are finally there and you stop to realize that it wasn't really what you wanted. And that can be really soul crushing.
Yeah.
And it was a first time I'd experienced that. But
how did you then take the leap? Like you're depressed, you're an attorney.
Right.
How do you then crack open a business?
Yeah, you know, it was an iterative process. I mean, I think people think it was like I woke up one day, and it's funny sometimes when people write stories about it, it's like she woke up one day and she just marched out of that office. not quite. You know, there was a tremendous amount of planning that went on for about 2 years of I took a business class at a local college about starting a business, and I would leave work for 3 hours and then have to come back and like work till 2 or 3 in the morning. And I did this on the sly to give myself some place to at least put one step forward, a little bit of energy into the idea by making it, like, I think demystifying how scary it seemed. I've never started a business. How do you start a business? Okay, I'm going to take a class on this. So I did this course over the course of this fall, and it did. It helped me sort of organize my thoughts and break it down in digestible pieces. And then there was what I like to call the like 18-month soul searching part of it, where I was in intense psychotherapy trying to unwind how I landed at this job that felt so soulless to me. But it worked so hard to get it. And then, and whether or not I could really give like credence to this other dream that I had that seemed so ludicrous. And so it was like an 18-month sort of mourning / accepting / embracing that it was okay for me to change my mind. And it was okay for me to change my mind as a woman. It was okay for me to change my mind as like an immigrant who was sort of living the American dream for all immigrants, which is that your children come here and they succeed. And I was succeeding. And that felt very potent to me. I had to like really work hard. It was very emotional to accept that I was going to disappoint a lot of people. by changing my mind and changing career paths. And not only that, but I was going to disappoint them and go a direction that has no certainty, I have no experience in. And so getting comfortable with that risk was really, really hard. And as I am, you know, mentally doing gymnastics about how to do this, emotionally, I'm making plans, and everyone started saying, you know, you're just going to have to jump and do it. And I was getting close to jumping and doing it. And about 6 months into my what I had deemed my final year as a lawyer, I was going to get my last bonus and then like get out. And I was saving money so that I could live for a while. I got laid off.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there were 200 layoffs. It was the largest round of layoffs that any that firm had ever done. And it was like on the cover of the Wall Street Journal. And I remember waking up that day, and our department, the economy had gotten much better. And so bankruptcy is very cyclical. Our department had become very, very slow over the last 6 months. And so we were basically, most of the bankruptcy department was on the chopping block. And at that point, I was pretty senior and very expensive to be just sitting around working on my business ideas behind closed doors. And, you know, I was so grateful for it because I no longer had to muster the courage to walk out and take emotional responsibility for that choice with my family. It was like, oh, I got laid off and I'm going to go pursue this. And so I basked in that for about a week. I was just so happy the decision of when to end it had been made for me. And I was very grateful for it because it did alleviate a lot of pressure. Yeah. However, 2-3 days later, I start getting calls from headhunters and people trying to recruit me. And that was when I had to actually take ownership over, you know, the allure of just going somewhere else and continuing, or really saying to my family, like, I know I have these job offers coming my way and recruiters are calling me, and my parents were even calling me. I called so-and-so, they'll give you a job tomorrow. Do you want it?
Wow.
And saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm really going to go for it.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
How did your family receive the news that you were really going for it? I mean, it seems like that relationship is incredibly important to you, and that must have been really hard.
You know, it was hard on all of us. But at the end of the day, you know, I think my parents had to do some individuating and some soul searching too. My parents are actually inherently pretty big risk takers themselves, but there was a gender component of what does this mean? And what does this mean about you eventually giving us grandkids if you go throw your energy in this other direction? So there was like a little bit of that agenda going on. And then there was a little bit of an agenda of what if you fail? And we're so used to seeing you succeed, and watching you fail is going to be really difficult for all of us to watch. And that part was a great learning lesson for me, because I was just as nervous as failing as I was of disappointing them. And I kind of realized I was never going to grow if I lived in fear of disappointing them. So, you know, and for them, I think it was also like a wake up call of, you know, we all have to have like a little powwow of, you know, you guys, I've never failed at anything. My generation was not taught how to fail. And if I fail at this, like, there will be something good that comes out of it, because we're just not taught to fail. I'm frustrated by this very expensive education that I had, where I was never taught to fail and how to fail and how to pick myself back up and keep going. And I felt that the layoff felt a little bit in a lot of people's eyes like a failure. And I was really relieved to sort of get to have that, so that I could like start digesting what that might feel like. So yeah, it was complicated, but they eventually just realized that, you know, they weren't going to stop me from doing it. So they might as well get on board, which they did.
And then you didn't fail.
Yeah. You very much did not fail.
For now, it's a forever question, which I think is kind of the more interesting lesson. It's never done. It's like, it's a journey, and there's probably failure coming at some point on some level, maybe like as the enterprise as a whole, but maybe not. You know, and within it, there have been micro failures of things, well, we'll call them learning experiences. But that's just part of it, right? And it's, I think so much of it is just learning how to tolerate that and how uncomfortable that feels. And I think it is very cultural. There's a lack of sense of humor about failure in the way that I grew up and in the cultures I grew up. There's just not a good sense of humor about it. And it's inevitable. Like, we're all going to fail somewhat here and there, and tolerating how uncomfortable that feels at that time is a great lesson. I have found it to be such a good lesson. So that was kind of how.
And one you've had to kind of learn along the way, I think, right? Like, it's been trial and error.
Right.
What are some self-care practices that you currently have, but also that you implemented? I know you mentioned going to psychotherapy, but as you were kind of going through this experience of, you know, feeling unhappy in your career and then shame and guilt around that, and then the desire to start your own business, what are some ways in which you took care of yourself then, and how else do you kind of, you know, practice self-care now as an entrepreneur running their own business?
And are we talking all forms of self-care?
Yeah. I mean, that can really be anything.
But, right. Well, one of the things I started doing was I started journaling a lot, which I always thought was just the hokiest, most ridiculous thing. And people have been telling me about it for years. But what it does is it gets you out of your own head. And it gets you to sort of regurgitate something on a piece of paper, and just having it like the swirl of ideas and anxiety and all these things that go on in our heads, it has no place to go. Like, it has an energy of its own. And so something for me about the exercise of throwing it out on a piece of paper, even if I can't make sense of what I'm writing and I never look at it again, doesn't matter. It just gets it out of my head. And I found that very helpful in also sort of gaining some clarity on what the journey was really about, and a little bit about surrendering. Because as I journaled more and more, I realized that what I was afraid of was just sort of surrendering. But there was no question that there was very strong like energy from within that was just pushing me to go do this. And so there was a part of me that had to surrender to that. And I think one of the things that I realized through journaling was also that I spent so much, one of the reasons why I was so fatigued by being a lawyer is that I had to psych myself up to go to work every day. And so rather than the wind being at my back, I was like swimming upstream emotionally all the time to make it through the day. And there was no denying that like the energy that was propelling me to go do this business felt energizing and affirmative. And it was a totally different experience. but I couldn't make sense of that in my head. So the journaling really helped. And then, you know, one of the ways that you're rewarded as a lawyer is by lack of sleep, because the more hours you bill, the more they like you. And it's almost like it's a very twisted thing. And obviously your performance declines very quickly into the no sleep world. And so I had been living off of, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5 hours of sleep, you know, for 6 years, with no breaks, no weekends off. And I went into like kind of a rabbit hole of health issues once I left being a lawyer that I had to tend to, that all stemmed from years and years of lack of sleep. And I implemented like a new, I'm not going to wake up with an alarm clock thing for as long as I could actually get away with it. And now I'm very, very religious about a minimum of 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night.
Wow. That makes such a difference.
It makes such a difference. And I work more efficiently and I'm more clear and I'm less anxious when I don't get things done. But I never gave that the proper priority it needed. And then fresh air, I think, is really important. You know, there's like a lot of things that people are saying these days about getting out in nature. And I do find that even though I don't live near anything nature-like, I wish I did. When I am in nature, like everything just clarifies and calms down. And there's something about getting connected with fresh air, and that's important. So to the extent that I can, I try to like get outside and just kind of walk in a contemplative way for 10 minutes a day, which is different from getting on a treadmill at an Equinox, right?
Yeah, it is totally.
And you know, and I think there's a lot about reading fiction for me that I use as self-care.
Oh,
because
yes.
The watching the creative process unfold for somebody else and sort of losing yourself in a story. I try not to read too much like nonfiction, but we're also bombarded with so much nonfiction in our daily lives. And I find that it can be really taxing on the psyche. It's not refreshing, you know?
No.
And I'm addicted to the news and I'm addicted to data and information. And so I do try to read, you know, constantly be reading like a fiction book.
I wanted to ask about the Target being sold in Target.
Yeah.
First of all, how did that come about? And also, was that just a huge growth spurt for your company? And how are you dealing with that?
Yes, yes, and yes. I was about, I'm trying to think, we were about eight or nine months into launching. And Target approached me, and it was like, whoa. And I had actually been approached by a couple of other large retailers, but did not feel that they were the right fit at the time. But for some reason, when Target approached me, it felt like something that I did need to consider, even though as a small independent business owner, I wasn't ready for it. Like infrastructurally, I wasn't ready for it. And again, it was just one of those moments where I thought you just are going to have to say yes and figure out how to do it later, which is exactly what happened. So I said, yes, they came back a few months later with like a more cohesive sort of proposal. And then I didn't hear from them for a couple months. And then all of a sudden it was like, they came back and they were like, okay, we've worked out all the kinks. Here's the deal. This is when you're launching. We need this in 2 months. We need this in 3 months. Yeah. Oh and gosh. So it went from 0 to 100 with the Target thing immediately. And I basically just locked myself in my house and breathed and lived and ate Target for, you know, 3 months straight in preparation for this launch. And it is a great opportunity, but there was something really important about Target feeling like the right environment for my consumer too. I had worked really hard on creating something that wasn't what I know we are tired of getting as Latinos in this country, which is everything Latinos like is cheap and cheesy. and, you know, like string lights. And there's so much that's so sophisticated about all these different countries in Latin America and their individual cultures. And I really wanted to try to bring aspects of that out into the line. And Target felt like a place where those things could be celebrated, but also be accessible on a more mass market scale. And they weren't asking me to cheapen it, and they weren't asking me to take the Spanish off. And they were very respectful about what I'd created and why. And they kind of trusted that I knew this customer. And so that was really important to me, to make sure that it had found like a home where it would make sense. And it's been great for the business, if for no other reason than I've gotten tremendous exposure. I'm not in every Target store. I'm in a percentage of Target stores, and I've gotten great exposure in markets where it would have been taken me a really long time to kind of make any sort of footprint in all of these places. So it was incredibly helpful from that perspective. And everybody shops at Target. I mean, I grew up coming to the United States once a year on holiday with my parents to go shopping at Target for 5 days in preparation for the entire year. Like,
that's amazing.
So, you know, so it kind of was this like funny, touching sort of full circle situation as well. But yeah, it's been really great. And there's something that there's a like cachet that Target has that people trust in. And it is so hard to make inroads in any business, and in this business in particular, where you're like up against these huge brands that have so much money and huge corporations behind them, to have a company like Target say, you don't know this girl, but like, we believe in her and we're going to put her stuff on our shelves. And it was huge as a woman and as a minority business owner to have a company like that kind of put some confidence behind the brand. So it has been, probably the craziest year of my life ever. And it's been a little bit like getting an MBA at the same time. And I'm learning so much and being put through my paces. And, you know, I'm trying to kind of tread water and stay afloat. And within all of that, I don't know enough about the trajectory of the Target relationship or anything in the future to really confidently say, okay, I'm going to go out and hire the help that I need. So by and large, it's still just me doing most of everything.
If for people who might be new to your line, is there one item that you're like, this is the introductory piece that everyone needs? And I will tell you that Alexis Tirada, who was a guest on our show, came in wearing the bold lip color in Brava. And that is what we lost our minds over. So I don't know if it's that lip color, or is there something that was like your nearest and dearest piece of makeup that you think everyone should own?
Yeah. So it's so funny. It definitely was always Brava. I struggled with reds my whole life because every makeup counter I went to would say, oh, you have darker like skin tone. You should wear orange. You should wear an orangey red, or you should wear like a maroon brick red. And that is not why women wear red lipstick. Women wear red lipstick because it is a mood changer, and it has a very specific type of energy that no other lip color gives you. It is timeless and fierce all at once. And if you don't get that injection of I'm wearing this holy shit red, then it's not doing its job. But everyone gets so hung up on this idea that it's like skin color, really like your best colors are this. And that's not what I wanted. And so since I could never find the red that I felt gave me that energy, but also I think looked good on my skin, I went out and created it. And that was the red. And the reason why I called it Brava is because it's like woman's on fire, bitch be angry, bitch be like on a mission. And I wanted it to give everyone the injection of that color. Well, it turns out to be this red that actually ended up looking beautiful on everybody. Like my very, very palest friends, my very, very darkest skin friends, my mother's age friends were all in their late 60s. And so that to me was the hero product of the line. We say on the website, it's equal parts Reina, equal parts Rebelde, because it's true. And I, you know, I love that. And yet there in the running in the background of this, as I was aging, right? Cause I'm creating this line for people our age, certainly, but also a much younger demographic, 15-year-olds, 25-year-olds. One of the things that I started lamenting was that my eyebrows were getting sparser. And as a, I'm sure you guys were the victims of the like 1990s brow.
Oh, yes.
As it turns out, it like took me 10 years to recover from, of like every serum, every vitamin I could get to get my eyebrows back to being like the full brows that they were. But obviously, as we get older, we lose brow hair. And one of the things that was such a tragedy about that 90s brow is that a strong, full brow makes your whole face look younger, because there is something very youthful about hair and an abundance of hair. So I created a brow product that is basically like a gel pomade. And the darker shade is called Frida because of Frida Kahlo's unibrow. And the lighter brown shade is called La Doña, which is after like another Mexican movie star from the golden era that was also known for her brows. And I can never find my perfect shade. And also like the brows have to be darker some days, depending on what lip you're wearing, lighter some days, depending on how smoky your eye is, et cetera, et cetera. So I created two shades that I felt like could be mixed together on your hand to create your custom shade whenever, whenever you are doing your makeup. And there's nothing I enjoy more than doing my eyebrows every single morning, because I literally feel like if I wear nothing else the rest of the day, it makes me look awake. It makes my face look framed. And it just adds that gravitas that you need. And so I would say everybody needs a good brow product. I don't care if you think you've got like skinny brows or full brows, like a full brow is going to make you look youthful and rested well into whatever age you're in.
I love that. A red lip and a strong brow.
Always.
Words to live by.
If you do nothing else, those are the two things you got to do.
Regina, this has been so great to get to talk to you and learn about your life and your company. Can you tell us online where, and in stores, where we can find you?
Absolutely. So you can always find us at reinarebelde.com, and you can find the full line there. And then you can find some lip products on Amazon if you're big Amazon Prime purchasers, which a lot of people that's my favorite thing. People think that Prime is free and that they don't pay for shipping, but we all know
we pay
for shipping. We forget about it. And then Target.com, and then there's about a whole list of the Target stores where we're currently carried. There will be more next year, but the majority of them are in New York, California, Arizona, Colorado, Chicago area, all over Florida. And yeah. And then we're expanding to a couple of other territories next year, which we're super excited about. So that's where you can get the line.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye. Bye. So Kate, how did your daughter's birthday party go?
You know what? It was a blast.
Oh, yay.
Was I anxious about it? And did I have the nervous feeling of like, is everybody having fun? What if they're not having fun? And then I was like, oh, they're kids.
And your daughter seemed to be having fun.
She had fun. Her friends had fun. They did. They were so, everybody was like really lovely and well-behaved. Aww. And well-mannered. They all went to sleep.
Aww.
You know, at a reasonable, I think by 11:30, everyone was asleep. They were just really great. And it was a lot of, it was fun. And it was, I will say, the most I've ever felt like a parent.
Oh, interesting.
Like just having all these kids in our home and being responsible for them overnight, I felt very grown up. I don't normally feel like I'm an adult, but it was very adult.
Aww.
Yeah. So that was nice. How has it been enjoying pregnancy?
I'm enjoying it more.
You've been really talking about how you're feeling good.
Yeah. Like I'm feeling good. And like, I know that, you know, in a few weeks, I'm going to be bigger.
And that is how it works.
And it's probably going to get a little uncomfortable.
What week are you at now?
21.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm trying to just sort of like enjoy this time when I'm like getting bigger, but I'm not so big that it's uncomfortable
yet.
Way
to stay in the present.
Thank you.
Because I feel like especially when you're pregnant, you're like, there's so much focus on what's to come.
Yes. Yes. So that's been, I think I'm doing a decent job just enjoying the pregnancy.
I certainly get that vibe from you.
Well, thank you.
What do you have on your intention list this week?
I'm going to plan my staycation.
Oh, you know what? I know a podcast that just did a whole episode
now,
on staycations.
I don't want to overplan my staycation.
Which can then make it a stresscation.
Exactly. So I think I'm just going to think about a few things that I want to do and that I want to get done, but I'm not going to try to like plan every minute of it. So that's my intention.
Can't wait to hear what you do, including
Thanks.
Those cinnamon rolls.
Ooh, yeah. What is your intention this week?
Mine is to try to combat the feeling of overwhelm and just go through my to-do list item by item. You know, just like check a thing off once a day.
Yeah.
Because I get so overwhelmed by the big picture.
Yeah.
That I forget that just by like doing little steps, it all gets done. Mm-hmm. So I think that might really help my mental state. And then, you know what? This isn't on my list, but I think just to like relax and enjoy some quiet time.
Yeah.
You know, watch some TV, read on the couch, just to like find ways to treasure my time.
Sounds perfect.
Well, you know, see how it goes.
Well, listen, you can all tell us about your staycations or anything else by calling us at 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, let's not forget the topic that kicked off this episode was pubic hair shampooing. So please do weigh in on that.
Or not.
Or not. Or tell me what.
Or just send Kate a message. you can also join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. And you will be asked a question. The answer is serums.
Yep. And you know the drill. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend. And if you really like us, please mention us on the social media outlet of your choice or follow us on the social media outlet of your choice.
And just a reminder that everything we talk about is always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35podcast. Pod.
And you know, Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Doria Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio.
And with help from our new assistant, Lane Hammer.
Lane Hammer, shout out.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.